Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the Word of God for today. We're going to go to the Word of God for today. And God has been doing some awesome things in me. I know different ones have been going through different things that you might have been through. In your life for the last year. I'm not the only one that's been going through something. I know others have been going through things that have tested your faith and test your endurance. And I've been going through stuff to test my endurance and test my faith too. I might not talk about it a lot to everybody, a few people I've mentioned it to, but we all been going through different things. And so I thank God that God always has a way. He just always has a way. And he has grace for every situation. He has grace for every stage of our life. He has grace for everything we go through. And we're never alone. I thank God I know I'm never alone and that he's always there and he always makes the way. I just have to look for the way and be ready to receive it. I have to have eyes to see the way, and you too. Eyes to see the way, because God always makes the way. And grace is there in our weakest hour. Grace is there in our weakest hour. God is there. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He's always there. Always, always. And I'll forever say that to the day I leave here. He's always there and he's always faithful. We're not always faithful, but he's always faithful. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. He's always faithful. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The subject for today is increasing our capacity to receive. Increasing our capacity to receive. And I heard that phrase several times lately. Robert mentioned it, Jet mentioned it, and someone else mentioned it, that we can only receive by the capacity we have to receive. That our capacity to receive determines how much we receive and what we receive, really. How much and what we receive because of our capacity. So I've heard that lately, and it kind of been working with me. Well, it's been working with me for several months now about that capacity, and I've been hearing about capacity. We cannot receive beyond our capacity or ability to receive. We cannot receive beyond our capacity or our ability to receive. So what do I mean by capacity? What do I mean when I say capacity? Capacity means the potential or suitability for holding, storing, or accommodating. It's the potential or suitability for holding, storing, or accommodating. My refrigerator has the capacity of how much stuff I can put in it. I have a small freezer. It has a capacity of how much I can put in that. So different things have capacities. And capacity also means the maximum or largest amount or number that can be contained or held or accommodated. For example, a jug with a 1 gallon capacity cannot contain or hold 2 gallons. An auditorium that has a capacity of 100 people cannot hold 300 people. So we see that capacity is important. Capacity is important. And y'all probably heard that we're containers. Our heart is a container. We are a container for God and for spiritual things. We contain things in us. So we see the capacity is important. You really could replace capacity with ability. You could say our ability to make contain or the jug's ability to contain only 1 gallon, Or the auditorium's ability to capacitate only 100 people. Notice it's the container that has the problem, not what's being put in it, not what needs to fill it up, but the container. The container is what needs to increase, not what's going in the container, but not what's already in there that maybe can expand and increase, but it's the container that needs to change. It's container that needs to become unlimited in its capacity to hold more and to go beyond its limit. Our container is our heart. We can't go beyond the capacity or ability of our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Our container is our heart, and we can't go beyond the capacity or ability of our heart. The Bible says a lot about the heart. And we need to know our own hearts. We need to know our hearts. We need to know our own hearts. I don't need to try to know somebody else's heart. I don't need to try to know Robert or Fred's heart or Donnie's heart or Latasha or anybody else's heart. I need to know my own heart. I need to get to know my own heart. And then we can see better how to know the hearts of others. So the good news is that capacity can increase. We can make adjustments to increase capacity. Like I said, we can get a barrel to replace the jug or an auditorium to replace the stadium. And it's our hearts that, when we think of capacity, we need to think about our hearts. What we believe and how we think determines our capacity to receive from God. What we believe and what we think determines our capacity to receive from God. I've experienced that many times in my Christian walk when my capacity to receive wasn't up to par for me to receive what I needed to receive, what I wanted to receive. I had to increase my capacity to be able to receive what God had already given me, was already provided for me. God doesn't need to invent or make anything else. He given us, he's done our everything that needs to be done for us. And he's given us and provided everything we need. It's already ours to receive by believing. How do we receive? Receive by believing. We receive by believing. If we're not receiving or seeing what we want, then we need to check out what are we believing. How do we limit our capacity in that area? Proverbs says this in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so are we. Our thinking, renewing our mind, will increase our heart capacity. Our thinking, renewing our minds, will increase our heart's capacity. And the thing is, we can never stop increasing our heart's capacity because we never can stop renewing our mind. I can always talk about me. Sometimes we study, we get the word of God in us, we go to Bible college like I did, and we think, okay, I know this. And for a while, everything works well, and we do really know it, and we think everything's working well. But do we really, really know it? Are we continuing to be a disciple? Are we continuing to get revelation? Are we continuing to renew our mind? I've heard this. We can't make it off of stale bread. We need some fresh bread. And I think that's what sometimes we don't realize. We need fresh bread. The manna needed to be gathered fresh every day when the children of Israel was in the wilderness and God fed them. Every day, and God was teaching them something. We can learn something from that teaching. Every day they gathered manna. Thank you, Jesus. Every day they gathered manna. They gathered enough for them for that day. When they tried to store some for the next day, it would ruin, it would rot, it wouldn't hold to the next day. And God was telling them, trust me each day for manna. Fresh manna. I'm giving you fresh manna every day. You need fresh manna every day. We need the freshness of the word of God every day. And I was guilty of not realizing that. Hallelujah. We need that word every day. It's not about what I haven't heard. It's hearing. Hearing. Not having heard the word, but hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word every day, every day. And sometimes I know we might get tired, or we might whatever, but we need that fresh hearing of the word of God every day. It's not enough for me to teach the word of God. I need that fresh hearing of the word of God every day for me. I need to get in that word every day and let God speak to me. So my capacity for hearing, my capacity for believing will steadily increase every day. It's not about just maintaining, but it's about our capacity increasing every day as we renew ourselves in the Word of God. And I've gotten off my notes, but that's okay. I'm used to that. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, that's good and that's true. What Jesus said is good and it's true. But you know that mouth can speak off the top of his head. Did you know that mouth can say something that's not coming out of the heart? That mouth can say something that somebody else said and it's really not in the heart yet. But Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he wants us to know whatever we speak should come out of our heart. It should come out of our heart. And when our capacity to believe have increased and the word of God is in there, we have his revelation in there, then we can speak out of the abundance of our heart and not off the top of our head, Then he said in Luke 6, 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. This is just saying the same thing that was said in Matthew. God can change our hearts and minds. And when they do, our capacity to receive changes and increase. When our hearts and our minds change with revelation of the fresh word of God that we receive every day, then our capacity to receive changes and increases. Small word, not enough word, not enough Bible, not enough getting with God, then small capacity to receive. More word. More time with God, more meditating the word of God, more fellowship with him. As we do that, our capacity to believe increases. Our capacity to receive increases because our capacity to believe increases. When we believe, we receive. When we believe, we receive. It's not a separate step. One step or separate. Believing is one step, receiving is another step. When we believe, we receive. The moment we believe, we receive. The moment we got saved and we believe, we receive salvation. So what hinders or limits our capacity to receive? What hinders us from receiving, having our hearts full of carnal things? That year I was going through stuff. I wanted to sit down and watch TV. I had church, thinking about the church and thinking about this and that and the other. This won't going right, that won't going right. So I was filling my mind with carnal things. But having our heart full of carnal things hinders our capacity to receive. Failing to continue to renew our minds hinders our capacity to receive. Continue, and that's the other say, failing to continue. Jesus said, you'll be my disciples if you continue in my word. So failing to continue to renew our minds will limit our capacity to receive. Failing to start and continue to spend quality time with Jesus in the word and in prayer. Failing to start and continue. You see, it's not enough just to start and do something for a while and then quit. Do something for a while and quit. Do something for a while and quit. You know, we're good at that. Get on a diet, lose a little weight, quit, go back eating, whatever. But failing to start and continue to spend quality time with Jesus in the word and prayer will hinder or limit our capacity to receive. Failure to make him Lord of our hearts. You know, we say about making Jesus Lord of our life. Good, we need to make him Lord of our life, and we'll say that. But he's Lord, if he's Lord of your heart, he'll be Lord of your life. You ain't got to worry about that. If you allow Jesus to be Lord of your heart, he will be Lord of your life. Because whatever's controlling your heart is controlling your life. Whatever the biggest thing is in your heart, that's controlling a lot of your time, a lot of your effort. Trust me, I know. Whatever is filling a great deal of your heart, that's going to control your time and how and when you do things. So failing to make him Lord of our hearts will hinder our capacity to receive. And failure to really believe God with all our heart in all things he has said and is saying, that will also hinder us in our capacity to receive. We got to really believe God. I've been doing this study, started this study about a week ago, and it made me think about, do I really believe that God really meant what he said, that his word is really true, that his word really can't fail, that his word really accomplished what he said it would? How much trust do I really put in the word of God, in all the word of God, not just part of it? How much trust do I put in all the word of God? Do I trust them in every area for everything with all my heart? Hallelujah. With all my heart. Do I really do it with all my heart? Because if I don't, then I'm going to have a problem receiving in those areas where I don't trust him with all my heart. I'm going to be able to receive in those areas where I trust him with all my heart. But in those areas where I don't trust him with all my heart, I'm going to have some difficulty receiving, because my capacity is not going to be where it should be in that area. And therefore, my ability to receive is going to be hindered because I'm not believing him and trusting him with all my heart. Let's go to Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:9. Jabez wanted more than what he was experiencing. How many of you want more than what you're experiencing? I know I do. Oh, you know, I see Kathy doing that sometimes, Robert's Kathy. You know, Jabez wanted more than what he was experiencing. 1 Chronicles 4:9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. She had a difficult childbirth, had a hard time bringing Jabez in the world, which Jabez had nothing to do with it. It wasn't his problem that mama had a hard time in delivery. But because mama had a hard time in delivery, she named him Jabez. And that's what his name meant, pain. Let's look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory, Lord. What do we say that David said in Psalms I gotta go down here somewhere and I'm gonna spin back to it. And 119, Psalms 119, 32, David said this, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So David was looking to God to enlarge his heart. And Jabez called on God to enlarge his territory. Bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory. My territory is restricted because of my name, Lord. But Lord, I want you to enlarge my territory. I want more capacity. I don't want my territory to be limited, but I want more capacity in my territory. And then he said, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, scripture doesn't tell us how long it was between Jabez's prayer and him turning around. But when Jabez prayed, he believed. And when he believed, he received. You know. And so God granted him that. God granted him that. We don't know any time frame about it. But when Jabez believed, he received. Preparing for increase. Let's look at Isaiah 54:2. Someone gave me this scripture many, many years ago. I was at a conference. Isaiah 54:2. And I'm reading from the ESV translation. And it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You hear that? Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, preparing for increase. This scripture is talking about preparing for increase. What we expect, when we expect increase, we prepare for increase. When we expect increase, we prepare for increase. And Isaiah said to the people who prophesied to, enlarge the place of your tent. What tent do you have to, what place do you have to enlarge? What tent do you have to enlarge in preparing for increase? How do you need to increase in what place and what area so that your capacity is there and enlarged to receive increase? And it said, let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Stretch out your curtains. What do you need to stretch out in preparing for increase so that your capacity will be so that you can receive the increase? You don't want to have a curtain like this. You can't receive much. You want to, like the scripture said, you want to enlarge the curtain of your habitation. Be stretched out. Something needs to stretch out so that you, your capacity can increase and you can be ready to receive what you need to receive. Do not hold back. A lot of times we hold back. We don't want to increase. We don't want our capacity to expand. We're so comfortable where we are, we hold back. But God is saying, increase. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Get ready for increase. Enlarge your capacity to receive. Get ready for increase. The next verse says, Isaiah 54:3, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and people the desolate cities. That's what happened when you expect increase. And you do what you need for increase. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate city. They will populate the desolate city. You can see it that way. If we don't prepare by expanding our capacity, we will not be ready. And if we're not ready, we will not be able to receive. Our capacity will be limited. Our ability will be limited. We come to think we are waiting on God, but he is actually waiting on us. I've been there. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. But he's actually waiting on us. He has established his will by his word and is waiting on us. He has established his will by his word and he's waiting on us. 2 Corinthians 1:18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. I'm in 2 Corinthians 1:18. I'll read a couple of verses. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. That 20th verse that we all love. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Have you heard the saying, can I get an amen? I've heard that. Can I get an amen? Preachers say that. Can I get an amen? Well, Jesus waited for your yes and your amen and my yes and my amen. The word of God has gone forth. Every promise of God is yes, but God is waiting for our amen to his yes. Am I healed? Yes. So now my job said, okay, amen, God. The word says, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen. God is waiting for our amen. He's given his yes. He's given his yes. And Isaiah 54:4 says, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. When we enlarge our capacity to receive, and we believe and receive every promise of God or whatever promise we stand in need of right then. Then, when we do, the Bible says, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. Faith never fails. We fail to be in faith, but faith never fails. We fail to be in faith, but faith never fails. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced, for you will forget the shame of your youth. You'll forget all the moment you step in faith, and the moment God you believe and receive, and you're operating in what's already yours, you'll forget about all that stuff it took for you to get there. You'll be rejoicing. It might be a struggle, but you will be rejoicing. And you're gonna tell everybody about what God has done for you. And all that shame and disgrace, them looking at you saying, oh, well, did you really, what you doing? Are you really believing? Do you think that stuff you saying is true? Do you think that really, look at your body, girl. Oh, look at your body. Look at where you living. Look at what you drive. Do you think that your God is going to get any better? Yeah, we do believe it. And the Bible said, be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. Isaiah said this, and this came to back pass now that we're in the covenant of grace. Now that we have a new covenant, we can walk in what God has said, believe it because it's so. Increasing your capacity. Let's go back to David 119:32. David said, I will run the course of your commandments, but you shall enlarge my heart. God will enlarge our hearts as we do what I've already told you that we need to do. Take the word of God, meditate on the word of God, read it, continue hearing the word of God, continue studying the word of God, as we continue in the word of God, our hearts will be enlarged. Then David said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." Teach me, O Lord. God will teach us. He does teach us. He has taught us. He will continue to teach us all of his statutes, which is the word of God. But when God teaches us his ways, we need to keep it to the end. And the end is when we leave here. The end is not 5 days, 10 days, I do it for a year, then I quit. No, the end is when we leave here and go to be with Jesus. Excuse me. Psalms 119, 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with all my heart. God gives us understanding to keep his word. And when he does that, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Because I have to look at this from the New Covenant view. He has the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us to be able to observe it with our whole heart, not part of our heart. The word wasn't created for part of our heart. The word of God was given for our whole heart. Our whole heart needs the word. All of our heart needs the word of God. Every bit of us. Psalms 119, 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us walk in the paths of God's commandment. And we should delight in his word, delight in his commandments, delight in the word of God. The scripture says, delight in the word of God, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If you don't like what's in your heart, delight yourself in the word of God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. God, I want my heart to go toward your testimonies. I want your testimonies to be in my heart of the goodness of God and what God has done for me and what I know of his ways and how he's been in my life. I want your testimonies to be in my heart. I want to incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness, not to always wanting this and wanting that, carnal-minded stuff. It's okay to want and desire different things, but that should not take up your heart. Your whole heart desire should be for the testimonies of God, the goodness of God, the things of God. That should be our whole heart. And the 37th verse says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Oh my goodness, that is so relevant for today. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. There are some things we need to turn our eyes away from because they are worthless. And we need to be revived in the way of God. Verse 38 says, establish your word to your servant. Establish your word to me, Lord, who is devoted to fearing you. The fear of God should be in us, not the fear of man, but the fear of God, that reverence of God, that love of God, that honor for God, that wanting him with our whole heart, and him being meaning more to us than anything else. We don't need to lose that. We need to keep it. We need to keep that part that should be us. Establish your word in my heart, God. And I want to stay devoted to fearing you, not fearing man, not fearing how I look or how I sound, not fearing whether or not I'm going to have enough money for this, that, or the other, not fearing the elections or fearing whatever, but I want to be devoted to fearing you, God, the fear of God. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I want to have that fear, that reverence, that you having preeminence in my heart and in my life, you being number one. That's how I want to be. And I let that slip for a while. But I don't ever want to let it slip again. I don't ever want to let it slip again. I want to always be devoted to the fear of God. And I'm going to get ready to close. In my conclusion, I want to say this. The first way we get to know God's will is to know his word. I heard someone say this a few days ago. The first way we get to know God, to know his will for us, everybody's talking about, I want to know God's will, if I want to know God's will. Well, if you want to know God's will, you need to know his word. Because the first way to know God's will is to know his word. Know his word. If you know the word of God, you know the will of God. That's the first step to knowing the will of God, is knowing his word. We can't say we want to know his will and ignore knowing his word. I can't claim to want to know God's will and I don't even spend time getting to know his word, because his word is his will for me. The word of God is God's will for me. The word of God is God's will for you. You want to know God's will in certain areas of your life? Know the word. See if the word is speaking to you about God's will. And it is. It really is. Because the first place to know his will is to know his word. We can't say we want to walk in the spirit and not do his word. This was so powerful when I heard this. We can't say we want to walk in the spirit and not do his word. Why does our Father have to tell us to do what he's already said to do in his word? To do his word is walking in the spirit. If you are obeying the word of God and doing what God has said in his word, what he said in his written word, his rhema word, or whatever personal word he gives us individually, whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, whenever God has already spoken to you in his word, when we're walking in that and doing that, we're walking in the spirit, because the word of God and the spirit of God are not separated. And we as children of God, the word of God is for us and the spirit of God for us. And the word and the spirit agrees. So if I'm obeying God, obeying his word, then I'm walking in the spirit, because the spirit and the word of God agree. And I will have peace on the inside. I will have peace in my spirit man. The unction of the Holy Spirit will let me know that I'm going the right way, because how can you go the wrong way if the word of God told you to go that way? If the word of God told me to love my enemies and I love my enemies, I'm walking in the spirit, because the spirit of God is going to lead me to love my enemies. All of this increases our capacity to receive. Remember, when you believe, you receive. It's not two separate things. I used to think it was two separate events. I sure did. And you might still be thinking that way, and that's okay. If you don't agree with me, that's okay. You pray about it. You let God lead you, and then let God show you. But he showed me, when you believe, you receive. And we believe, we receive. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all those that came on to hear your word. God, I thank you for being a vessel that you can speak through to carry and bring your word. But God, I know it's much better for me not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer of the word. Just because I give the word doesn't exempt me from being a doer of your word. Thank you, God, for blessing me a doer of your word. That's the greatest thing, the greatest gift of all, God. The most, what I want most is just to be with you. Just to be with you and be a doer of all that you would have me to do, and to commune with you and fellowship with you, to be with you, God. And you be with me, to fellowship with you is the greatest thing, the greatest thing. So God, I say thank you. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for you. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, bless these your people, God. Bless us to be a doer of your work. Thank you, God. Help us to keep your word before us always, always. that we might do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.